Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. If you're joining me for the first time, I'm really so happy you're here and hope to be coming back every week and being a part of this community, this wonderful community of people who are really dedicated to expanding their awareness and to being able to have that curiosity to learn more, because I always like to say it's about being empowered to make the best choices for your own health and well-being. And to do that, you really need to be curious and have an open mind. And if you are listening for the first time, and if you would like to get my archives, then you just need to go to either my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know. You can go to my website, which is drcherylselman.com, and I will send you my podcast every week. Or you can go to Podbean, and I'm even on Spotify. So easy to access all these great conversations. And by the way, I have another podcast on Progressive Radio Network called The Love Code, and that's more of my spiritual show. And that's every Saturday at 11. So if you opt into my Facebook page, like me there, go to my website, you'll get all my great conversations that truly are uplifting and inspiring. And I like to believe life-changing. So we're going to have a great conversation today about women. Sometimes the show is all about women. And sometimes it's just about overall well-being and health for everyone, but men are always welcome to listen in. We're going to be talking about the art of chilling out for women with my guest, Angela Coleman. So just a little bit about Angela. Angela is a holistic health expert who founded the global nonprofit Sisterhood Agenda in 1994, and later the for-profit business Sisterhood Agenda Enterprises, LLC. Angela is the author of more than 20 books. She graduated from Princeton University with a degree in psychology and African-American studies. Angela studied clinical psychology at Howard University, earned a degree in nonprofit management from Duke University, and received an MBA from the University of Phoenix. She holds certifications in trauma, psychological first aid, suicide prevention, and African holistic health. So, Angela, it's my great pleasure to welcome you to What Women Must Know. You know, we're talking all about chilling out for women today.
Yay, greetings and good day. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. I'm not sure if you are aware, but my real passion has been women's health for a really long time. So one of the most challenging areas for women regarding their health, physical, mental, emotional, even spiritual, is the risk of just going into overwhelm and not having the ability to say no and just getting so stressed out. We cannot heal in a stressful state. So chilling out is an important quality to develop. So I'm glad we're talking about this today.
I'm glad you appreciate that.
Well, it's actually quite profound, our understanding of how we need to take time out. It's not a guilty pleasure. It's a necessity, right? It's a necessity for our overall well-being.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we can see the effects of not chilling out and not having that space for restoration and rest and recuperation and resetting and stillness. It manifests itself in many, many different ways, illness being one of the most negative health impacts. So that if you're not resting, your body forces you to rest in the form of a medical event. And that doesn't have to happen because we do possess the power and the free will to chill out on our own. And I call it the art of chilling out because it's a learned thing, some of us relearning it, because we used to know how to chill out. We used to know how to decompress and just take time for ourselves and allow our body's magic to work, allow our spirit to function and really restore. But a lot of us have lost it. So we've got to get back to it. And it's such an empowerment tool that we need, that we have to keep and maintain and also teach each other and teach the young ones too.
So, you know, when I look at your bio, Angela, you know, you're a pretty high achiever, right? So,
well, I love school,
so
and I love learning.
But I mean, truly, I mean, when you know, going to Princeton is not an easy thing, and I mean, it's just a demand. So, my question to you, through your life, what is your journey that has brought you to the understanding of why the ability to incorporate timeout is so important for us? I always like to ask my guests a bit about their own personal healing journey that brought them to doing the work that they're doing.
Sure. Well, I mean, definitely that work, school, and family balance was important to me. And I didn't want to have to choose. And I did it all at the same time. And I did eventually burn out. And I had to change my lifestyle. I knew if I wanted to really be there for my family and be there for the causes that I was championing for, and to be there for myself. And so that took me on a journey towards what I call doing the work, which a lot of involves staying in ritual and developing that ritual, which is just a healthy habit and a practice of self-care that stems from the foundation and ultimate act of self-love. And so I had to reevaluate where I stood with that, what I really wanted to instill in my daughter, what I really wanted to instill in the young ladies I was working with my nonprofit, Sisterhood Agenda. And I wanted to be there for that. And in order to do that, I knew I had to take care of myself. So it definitely was exactly that, a healing journey. And it was a path that took many twists and turns. And I found myself, and I found what I needed. And so with the Art of Chilling Out for Women, I'm sharing kind of the wisdom of the experiences that I've had, not just in my personal life and personal journey and experiences, but with the women and the girls that I've worked with Sisterhood Agenda and continue to work with, as well as my travel. You know, I lived for 10 years on the small island of St. John in the Virgin Islands as part of my path and part of my healing journey. And so I know the impacts of the environment and having a holistic health space, how valuable that can be. And I wanted people to have access to those resources without having to physically be in those spaces. And that's what's so incredible, is that our mind, body, and spirits are so amazing that we don't have to go anywhere. We can incorporate these chilling out practices in what I call holistic prescriptions, you know, in each chapter of the book, and there are over 100 of them, where I include a call to action. I include how to use and heal Mother Nature with herbs and things that are available and very accessible to most people, as well as gemstones and feng shui principles that enhance our environment, that help us to balance and achieve harmony, and also just help us in chilling out. And it's the act of being intentional, you know, really using what you have and what's available to you, but also acting in a more conscious way. Conscious of how these experiences and your mindset and things that you can do to build resilience, and also just help you to just maintain a state of inner peace and restoration and relaxation just in the ebb and flow and the natural rhythm of life.
So, Angela, you know, let's go back to your personal journey. What happened to you when you kind of got into that overwhelmed place where your body just was telling you that you just can't go on like that? What did How did that show up for you?
Well, it showed up for me in hospitalization with an unknown cause for 2 weeks. I was in
wow.
the hospital for 2 weeks. Nobody knew what was wrong with me.
Wow, so
and I had, and I'm laughing now only because it's a miracle. And it was such a wake up call for me. And I kind of think it's remarkable that I needed that of an extreme event for me to really, to move forward in a different direction, in a different way.
I would say that's a wake up call. What got you to the hospital? What was going on that led you to mm-hmm. hospitalization?
I had extreme headaches. I had headaches that mm-hmm. were uncontrollable and migraines. And I had no risk factors for like stroke or diabetes or anything. They couldn't figure out what was going on. Couldn't find any, you know, blood clots or problems. And they thought maybe it might be neurological. I saw all these different specialists. And then when I finally did get out of the hospital, I vowed that I was not going to be back in the hospital again. And I also vowed to live my life differently. And I remember when I first went out, I remember one of the nurses remarked, oh, it looks like you've been to a spa because I had rest. I was taken mm-hmm. care of in the hospital in a way that I had not been taken care of myself. Mm-hmm. I was able to get my basic needs met and just be. And I got to think about my life and think about where I wanted to go and how I was going to get there. And when I got out, it was a bright, sunny day, and that sun just energized me and warmed me and made me feel so good and special and loved and touched that I was like, yeah, this is a new beginning for me. And
well,
shortly after, I did start to experience also some chronic fatigue symptoms, like just being tired all the time. And I was never that person. I always had a lot of energy, high levels of energy, and also considered myself to be very productive, right, as a lot of people do. And grew up with the mindset that if I'm not doing something, then something's wrong. You know, feeling guilty or bad about taking time off or taking time for myself. And I changed that right away. Like, I'm going to take time for myself. I'm going to prioritize my health. I'm going to prioritize and my days and my schedules will be around how I feel. I'm going to be more in touch with how I feel. And then I started also getting more into holistic health practices versus medical kind of interventions and medical practices like medication and what have you. I just decided that I was going to walk, I was going to do yoga, I was doing mind-body exercises, meditative walks were really helpful for me at that time. And I remember I had a hard time walking. I couldn't hardly put one foot in front of the other at some point. And I didn't walk very far, but I kept going, and I kept going. Eventually, I can go further, and I'd rest in between. And I don't think this struggle was seen so much by other people, because they always saw me as being, quote unquote, very strong. But I knew what I had to do, and I knew what I was dealing with. And I also just knew I was going to build up my strength again, but it was up to me to do that. So I had different practices that I would do, my prayer, my meditation, acupuncture, massage therapy. That's about the time I started getting more into the gemstones. But one thing that I did that always helped me was that I went outside. And I went outside, and so I know the healing properties, the expansiveness, the beauty, and just the qualities that just exposure that Mother Nature can do and bring just by being, just by existing, you know, in the trees and the grass and just looking at the cycle of life. And it helped me gain perspective. So the pandemic also helped me gain perspective, because a lot of the women I was working with were overwhelmed with child care responsibilities because their children were home, even though they were supposed to be in school virtually, they needed to be watched and managed and fed and cared for. And they were also expected to be on, you know, most in the performance capacity with these Zoom meetings and be present and be productive and turn in all this paperwork to show they were working. And so that made me realize, that, and also caring for aging parents, I also, that's something that really hits and resonates with me too. No matter how many male children there are, it always seemed to fall on the female children, on the women, to take care of aging parents. So I said, okay, we've got to do something differently. And I saw that women were suffering and burning out, and they were kind of throwing their hands in the air and just saying, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. Well, what is it that you don't want to do anymore? And so people were making lifestyle decisions, finally, based on really what they enjoyed and what they didn't enjoy, and really look at what they thought they needed versus what they really needed. And I think that that's the key to change. But we don't have to give it all up, quote unquote. We can still be productive, but we've got to teach other people how to let us be too. And it starts with the boundaries, and it starts with us deciding we want to reclaim some of our energy and reclaim some of our time because we've been giving it away for so long, and we got used to giving it away that we don't have enough for ourselves. Our well ran dry. So how do we get it back? You know, and that's why I started writing The Art of Chilling Out for Women, because I wanted us to know that it's kind of tongue-in-cheek. Yeah, I'm chilling out. They say, what are you doing? And you say, nothing. It's rare that you ask another woman, what is she up to and what's going on, that she says nothing, right? Because we usually have a lot going on, and we are often juggling a lot of balls, and that seems to be an expectation. But I want us to be proud of saying, okay, that we're not doing anything right now, or, hey, what's going on? Sure, I have time to talk. Sure, I have time to just, you know, hang out with you. Sure, I have time to pet the dog, to rub the cat, to just go outside, walk around the block, to look outside the window and observe the rain. I have time to do that, and I want to do that. And not feel guilty, not feel like you're doing something wrong, that you're hurting somebody, or that you're denying somebody of something. Because that appearance of doing nothing is actually doing something very important and so restorative and so, as you said, necessary and relevant. And I want us all to claim it so that it becomes normalized. The more of us that do it, the more normalized it becomes, and the healthier we are, not just individually, but as a collective.
You know, when you're talking about your story, it's like your breakdown is like a breakthrough, right? It was a transformational moment where you realized that once you're, you know, dealing with such a physical symptom, you need to take a look. And, you know, when you're talking about your story, I'm just thinking about my journey as well, because I was very similar to you, Angela, at one point in my life, very driven, very competitive, and, you know, working, I have to say I was probably working, you know, I had full-time practice, and then I had weekend courses and evening courses I was teaching, you know, 60, 70, 80 hours a week. And go all the time. And my body, well, everything started to reflect it. I was getting all these health issues. I was feeling frustrated, depressed. And it was really the body that brought me to the awareness that, I needed to make changes, because everything was starting to fall apart. You know, I was getting bad allergies. I was getting arthritis. I had gut issues. I had thyroid issues. I had insomnia. Anxiety attacks, you know, those are messages that you better pay attention to, because it's not normal, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And And it was really a powerful time when everything started hitting me at once, that I needed to dive deeper into what was going on. And it began a journey for me, as it did for you, because I needed to understand my body more, what was going on with my body. And it led me to a very similar understanding, Angela, that you're writing about, is the need that we are programmed as women to do all the times. We follow a male model, which is like this consistent energy, just pushing out all the time. And women have that even to an excess, because it's child rearing and it's education and it's cleaning the home and the job and everything else, right? But we were designed to be cyclic in nature. The nature of a woman, the energy, the energetics, the frequency of a woman is cyclic. We have cycles from our menstruation, cycles with the moon, cycles with the seasons, cycles with day and night. We have to honor cycles and listen to what those cycles want of us. Time to rest, time to do. That was my big transformation, Angela, when I discovered this. And I remember it was so hard to just take time to rest, to do nothing. It was easier to go do and push than it was to just relax and take a nap in the afternoon. But it transformed my life when I got to that place to understand how I was wounded in this culture that is very, you know, patriarchal, and we needed to understand ourselves as women and the needs.
Yes. Yes. And our needs are different. And just like you said, honoring that femininity that's part of being female, which is not a weakness, which is not a handicap, which is not a disability. It is a strength to be self-aware and recognize when you need rest. And when you do recognize it and you incorporate it into your everyday, into your lifestyle, you won't go back, because you can't imagine doing what you did before. Because you're so much healthier, and you have so your energy is so different. And that's one of the reasons I include the gemstones and the feng shui, as well as the text and the call to action and the affirmation, is because it all works together. It is all about respecting and recognizing and enhancing that energy.
Yeah, you know, I just want to add that when I went through this time of transformation, so awakening to myself and my own feminine power, it by making the changes that we're talking about here and that you're writing about, it really allowed me to tap into my true power as a woman, and not trying to operate in a male world and power through achieving and accomplishing and, you know, winning. It was the power of listening to my own wisdom and to my own inner authority, and to become more authentic within myself, that brought me so much more of a sense of well-being than I ever had before. And you know, it's guided me ever since. I'm very aware of cycles and needs, because if we don't go back to the true original nature of the feminine, which is a cyclic wisdom, cyclic timing, and give ourselves what we need to thrive, which is rest, we will suffer. You suffered. You paid the price, and that's what you needed to wake up, right? You needed that trauma of your health to, you know, you probably needed that intensity, or you wouldn't have paid attention.
I would have. And then you don't realize that you're not operating at full potential, because that barreling along is really, really just hanging on by a thread sometimes. And I have a chapter in The Art of Chilling Out for Women where I say, listen and act. So, like, it's really simple. When you're hungry, you eat. When you're tired, you sleep. When you're sad, you cry. When you're happy, you laugh. When you're joyous, you know, just really dealing with stress and pain and disappointment, but also dealing with happiness and elation and great moments, and then realizing, okay, it's time to chill. And just acting in your own best interest. You know, like you're honoring the feminine, the spirit in you, that's acting in your own best interest. But if, by acting in your own best interest, it's not selfish. You're actually also acting in the best interest of everyone you care about, because you know what it's like to be around somebody who's stressed out, who worries all the time, who has difficulty relaxing and resting and is sleep deprived and is energy deficient. They're not the best people to be around. So you actually are enhancing yourself just by being the best that you can be. And we're operating sometimes, we're thinking we're this is the best that I have to offer, but you don't realize this all, this total unlimited potential, this vast resource of otherness that you have. That's that reserve that's in you when you allow your body and your spirit to guide you towards, like you said, respecting the cycle, respecting the rhythm, respecting when it's time to do things. Some things aren't about, no, you can't do it. Some things are just about not now. It's timing. It's just timing. And so when we can sync our timing in with our natural rhythm, and our cycles, we flow. And that flow feels great. It feels effortless. It feels fun and enjoyable. It doesn't feel like it's hard, it's difficult. You're not getting resistance. You're getting help because it's supported. It's universally supported.
So how would you define for women, the difference between being the fear of being selfish or taking, and what it is to honor the self?
Mm-hmm. Well, for one thing, I think there's a difference between not making time, because it's not about using time, and it's not about time, right? It's about making it happen and creating chilling out moments and sacred spaces. And we are presented with these opportunities all the time. We just don't necessarily, maybe we're not aware of them, so we don't take advantage of them. So the selfishness would come if you're just a narcissistic person and everything you do is really just about you. And you lack empathy and caring for other people. And your primary motivation for almost everything you do in life is for you, about you, and for your benefit. So this is not about that. This is about using spaces. So let's say I'm in the car and I'm waiting for my child or my grandchild to come out of school because I'm picking them up today. My tendency might be to park the car and then, look at my phone, right? Check my text messages, check my email, or make a few calls, or okay, what can I do? You're looking to fill the space. And I'm saying we have these spaces all the time. Maybe we're waiting for service on our car. Maybe we're waiting for a meeting to start and we have a space. It might be 10 minutes, 15 minutes. It might be 2 minutes, but you can even take 5 seconds and do deep breathing exercises. You can take 5 minutes and get up and stretch. Walk outside, walk back inside, admire a piece of art, connect and bond to nature, smell the flowers that you keep on your desk. Maybe you keep roses and gardenia for really enhancing, you know, self-love and bringing that yin element in, as well as the wood element, which is part of the feng shui. Maybe it's just going outside, grounding yourself like a tree and looking at the tree, admiring the tree. And being like, I'm like that tree. You know, I'm steady, I'm strong, I'm rooted, I'm firm, but also I can bend and yield and adapt. and, you know, go through seasons like the tree does, you know, listen to the birds. It's springtime. So those types of things that help us in the everyday, so we don't question why we do it or how do we find time to do that. And I also compare it to other healthy habits and self-care routines, like brushing your teeth. You know, if a dentist tells you, oh, you got to brush twice a day and use floss and do this, and you might even get your fancy toothbrushes and everything else because you want to have nice teeth and you want to do what the doctor says to do. Well, this is just another healthy habit. And you don't ask, well, dentist, how do I find time to brush my teeth? You do it because it's ingrained in you that that's what you do. It's a normalized healthy habit. And that's really what the self-care is. Finding a sacred space, I think, is so important for women to have. That could be a little corner in a room. It could be a rock in your backyard or your favorite bench in the park. It could be by the lake. It can be anywhere, but it's a space in which you really are feeling your spirit that speaks to your soul, that you feel content, you feel good, you feel just peaceful. And it's a resting spot, but it's not where you would go to sleep, per se, right? It's not a bed. So I think identifying those sacred spaces, having those sacred spaces and staying in ritual with a practice in which you are still and exercising that superpower, which is stillness is your superpower, one of my chapters, and recognizing that you need it. And that's whether you know, do it in the morning, you do it in the afternoon, at lunchtime, or you do it in the evening. It's up to you what your ritual looks like, because just like trauma and healing are unique to each person, like a fingerprint, I think that the art of chilling out and your rest and restoration, your rejuvenation and resetting and adaptation is going to look different too. So like, for example, meditation is not for everybody. Yoga is not for everybody. You know, these certain things that are very healing and very good and things I love, but that might not resonate with everyone. So that's why in the art of chilling out, I have over 100 different ways to incorporate chilling out into your daily life, because some things might really speak to you and other things, maybe you won't do it now, but you can use it as a reference guide and go back to it. Because, you know, healing from heartbreak, you know, is a chapter. You might not have heartbreak right now, but you might have heartbreak later. Or working through and overcoming grief, you know. Or I have one, drive the car, which is adapting to change. These things might not resonate with you right now, but at some point in time, you might want to go back and look at that. And sometimes I go back, I remind myself, especially with the affirmations, of what to do, of what to feel, of how to get back in balance and to get my equilibrium back. And I have plenty of male friends that have read the book too, and they like it. So it's not just for women. This is a very universal concept that can be applied to lots of people. And so that's my hope, is that we're all doing that. On some level, we're doing something that is for us and that helps us to exist and not suffer. But yeah, have a great life, really. So not just survival, fight, you know, that's fight or flight. Everything's not a challenge. You know, everything is not a battle. We don't have to prove ourselves to everybody. And understanding that you don't.
I think what's, you know, such an important point to emphasize, and now we can go in and look at some of the strategies that you've written in your book, Angela. An important point I want to emphasize to the women is that you cannot thrive and survive and be healthy if we are running ourselves ragged because we can't say no, because we don't believe we deserve to have time just to be for ourselves. Whatever our programming has been that keeps us going all the time And what makes it difficult for us to take time for ourselves or for the ability to say no. The reason why it's so important to do what we're talking about in this conversation is because if you do not know how to honor yourself and take care of your needs, which for a woman is time to rest and to be nurtured and to be around supportive friendships and to be out in nature, your body will let you know that you have dishonored, you know, your true nature. And that's why women, you know, are so prone to have more health issues in many areas than men, whether it's heart disease or cancer or fibromyalgia or depression, anxiety. It's a message the body is giving us that we have not taken care of ourselves. So that's, this is why, you know, I just really am excited about what you're doing, Angela, and having a chance to have this conversation. So hopefully people who are listening, all of you, you know, pay attention. You know, where are you driving yourself to exhaustion? You will pay the price for that. That's not how you, we, any of us were meant to be. But certainly it takes its toll on women because we're just so much more sensitive to cycles that we need to honor. So Angela, let's talk about some of the strategies that you recommend. And maybe for those who are listening who don't know what feng shui is, maybe you can talk about it a little bit and give some examples how that can be used, what it is and how it's and its application in our, you know, practical application in our life. And talk about some of those strategies.
Sure, absolutely. What you just reminded me of when you were talking about the ability to say no and learning to say no was the unreasonable expectations, and that not saying no is actually a setup, right? It's self-sabotage on many different levels. So I absolutely, I have a chapter about that as well. But feng shui is so important. One of the best things that we can do, well, feng shui, first of all, is energy, right? It's a way to optimize balance and harmony, and it's using the five elements of earth, wood, air, fire, and water to your benefit. You know, so for example, when they say clear all the clutter in your home and workspaces, that's a feng shui principle, because not only are you getting rid of things that no longer serve you and of the past, which is like baggage and dust, right, which you don't need anymore, you are opening more space and expanding your possibilities. So now you're opening literally your space up to present and future blessings. You know, using earth to soothe you, like yellow and beige for grounding. You know, also using the sun to energize you. You know, using watercolors like blue and turquoise to soothe you and to help you create boundaries. Using soft lighting and textures and soft fabrics bring in that yin element that are ways also to comfort you, you know, like cashmere or like those really soft throws that you have on your bed so that, you know, you are taking care of yourself. They can feel literally like a hug. And in each chapter, I have an affirmation and the holistic prescription. And I include feng shui because I believe that with these very specific recommendations, like add wood elements with plants such as cedar, honeysuckle, peony, hibiscus, lime, and orchid, that's for the listen and act, which is also like how you can, you said, respond to what your body is feeling. And the affirmation for that is, I honor my need to chill out by listening and acting in the best interest of my mind, body, and spirit. So you can add metal colors like white and gray. Metal furnishing will help you increase clarity and integrity. You could add the color red, like using red pillows or candles or any red accents that helps to increase confidence, and it also increases your positive dynamic energy. So if you're feeling low in energy, that's definitely something you can easily incorporate. And most of us have something like that we can use the feng shui, or something we can move around or replace or get rid of, because that's also part of feng shui. We don't hold on to everything. We don't hoard, things, because then we're living in the past. We want to move forward and, like the cycle, keep things moving, keep things flowing. And that's why that water element is so important as well, to help you move forward, to help you let go. Using circles, the metal helps you also to move forward and let go of the past. Listening to the water element is very soothing. Fountains, or, listening to rain, those are all things. Visiting the sea, we all love the waves. That's just very soothing, very comforting, and lowers your blood pressure. So if you're feeling stressed out, that might be part of your strategy. And I encourage women to have and create personal strategies, especially because chilling out is like having healthy self-esteem. You work hard mm-hmm. to get it. It creates a wonderful foundation. It affects all aspects of your life and helps you be successful. But then something or someone might come along that threatens it, or that throws you off, or that all of a sudden you're not in that same space anymore. You're not in that same place. So you've got to get back on track. And so you've got to maintain that inner peace. You've got to maintain that healthy self-esteem. So I have a section also called Create a Protective Shield. And that's one of my favorite sections, because we have to go out into the world. We can be great at home in our feng shui house, right? And then reading and meditating and doing our thing. And then we have to go out into the world. We go to the post office, or we go to the grocery store, or we go to work, and the corporate culture, maybe it's toxic and disruptive. Or we go someplace where we just not feeling the energy is negative, because it's full of people that have a different agenda than we do. So the Create a Protective Shield chapter is about a literal visualization, using creative visualization of a shield, that's unique to each person. What makes you feel powerful and protected? It could be an outfit, a piece of jewelry. It could be a feather. It could be literally picturing a bubble around you in an aura that's so powerful. It's the intention and the projection and manifestation of that makes it effective and valuable, so that you can retain what you have. You can protect yourself, protect your soul, protect your spirit, and protect what you've worked hard to achieve, that inner peace. So some of us have felt that safety and security at home, especially during the pandemic, where we were taught to isolate. Maybe we created kind of a cocoon in our bedrooms where we're just so comfortable there. Whatever that protective shield is for you, you can make it work. It keeps you from worrying, and it also keeps you from internalizing what's exterior and what's outside of who you are. So, like, one thing my daughter likes to tell me is to observe and don't absorb. She reminds me to do that. And that's what the protective shield helps you to do. So the affirmation is, my protective shield guards and protects all that is precious at all times in all ways. You can visualize, the call to action is visualize and practice erecting your force field when navigating unknown situations and negative people. That's the call to action. And then Mother Nature, use these herbs: bay leaves for spiritual enhancement and protection, peppermint for enhanced healing, luck, love, and protection, and thyme for spiritual awareness plus healing with love and courage. And I purposefully included utilization of herbs that most people have in their kitchen. So hopefully you have some peppermint, or you have some thyme. You might have bay leaves. And then these gemstones that I suggest you activate Moonstone for self-protection and good fortune. Citrine for enhanced manifestation, personal will and prosperity. Onyx for absorbing and transforming negative energy, plus increasing emotional and physical strength. Onyx is amazing. Gemstones are amazing. These little things can actually manipulate and change and absorb energy. And onyx is one that does that. So feng shui for creating a protective shield is add earth elements like clay pots and stones for grounding. Add metal elements like metal furniture and mirrors, plus white and gray colors for increased clarity and precision. And then I suggest you also add the water elements and the color blue, because that's connection, wisdom, and it also increases your intuition. So in these ways, we can protect ourselves. So this is helpful for a lot of women at work. They might have a workspace. And these are some of the things you can do simply, put on your desk or around in your environment. That can help a lot.
Yeah, I like that. If you're in an environment such as work where you have all sorts of characters and energies operating, it's nice to create a little safe space or create strategies like you were suggesting, just to remind you and to bring that energy into your personal space. I love all that stuff. I have lots of crystals in my personal space, and just creating my home to be a reflection of the peaceful energy that I want. But I want to just also emphasize what you said, Angela, the need to connect with nature. So this is something that is so profound. We spend so much of our time indoors, right? And nature, we are nature. We heal by nature, and we need to connect to nature. So this is, to me, fundamental to anyone, to everyone, to get back into their health and back into the balance. And that could be, you need to connect with nature. If you want to be healthy, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You have to find ways to connect with nature, to get outside, sit in the park, take your shoes off, ground yourself on the earth. You can watch the sunrise if you can have plants around you. Many ways to connect with nature. Right.
And that's, yes, exactly. And Sisterhood Agenda has a, what we call PARCS. It's a holistic housing project. And PARCS is an acronym for Positively Affirming Reality and Knowledge and Sisterhood. And it utilizes the power of green spaces to enhance our well-being. And as an approach to healing, it's in a water community where there are state parks, where there's a river, and all of these, the green space itself, I think that people don't actually realize how much it does enhance your well-being. And you might not also pinpoint it as the cause of why maybe you're not at your optimal best self, is that because you're not connecting to nature regularly. But it's true. It's absolutely true. And as you mentioned, it's like we are nature, and that's why connecting to nature reminds you that you're not alone. It reminds you of the power and the force and the beauty of the universe and of good things. And everything in nature also has a season and has a cycle. And so it's teachable moments that Mother Nature has that also can inform us of how to act. If we would act more in harmony and sync with nature. Again, the path of least resistance, and also the path of harmony and being in tune with the wavelength and with the energy that is there, is really helpful. That's that zen-like state that you can achieve when you really feel like you and the earth are one. And it's a beautiful feeling. Because things aren't going to always go your way. But you can still maintain that. You can still maintain your chill, even if other people are not.
So, you know, we've talked about a lot of things in the time we've had together. I'm just wondering if you can share, in the time we have left, just a couple of your, some other of your favorite chilling strategies for women that are simple and easy to do, so we can be able to be, you know, remind ourselves when we're in a stressful situation, or an affirmation that is one of your favorite affirmations that can support us as we, when we forget and feel ourselves getting stressed, angry, irritated, exhausted, each time to do something to shift our energy. What would you, what are some of your favorites?
Okay, there are a few. Beautify your life. That's one of my favorites, because I think we underestimate the impact that metaphysically beauty has with these very strong positive energy vibrations, and that that has a physical effect on us. And as touch as well, touch, beauty, and love, I write, are as necessary as breathing. I think they're just that important. You're honoring your beauty within. You're honoring yourself as a fully functioning, multidimensional human being. And when you acknowledge that, I have a chapter called Preventing Despair, that you can accept what is but still remain hopeful, because it's that hope. Even if you don't like where you are in your life, you can use hope to give you the fuel to move forward. And how to do that, using, again, the herbs, the gemstones, and the feng shui. Tiger's eye is awesome for increasing confidence, but it also helps you to release fear and anxiety. So tiger's eye is wonderful for when you're stepping into a new domain, new territory, new position, or doing something that might hold you back a little bit because you might have some fear. But let's see, driving the car, that's one of my favorite acronyms, because that's how we move through change. With the pandemic, there was so much uncertainty. There was a lot of big, big changes, and people were wanting to get back to normal, quote unquote. But if we can work through these changes, adapt to the change, and relax and let go of the past, we're much more able to build up resilience and even find blessings where other people might experience losses. So the three stages of peace and balance when you're having big changes is that CAR acronym: C for change acceptance, A for adaptive action, and the R for relaxation and letting go. And after something changes in our lives, it really encourages us to do things differently. And that's an opening and an opportunity. And to be open to letting that process happen, because change is a constant. And a lot of changes, especially big ones, are in no way, shape, or form in our control. So it can be difficult, but once you do that, the first step of change acceptance, recognizing, okay, I accept this change, even if I don't like it, and I'm not feeling it right now, to be able to accept it. So only after that can your body, your mind, your spirit begin to take the adaptive action, which is the A. And only after you adapt can you now say, okay, I'm ready to move on. And that's the relaxation. You know, like you've conquered a mountain just by, in your mind, accepting and honoring the change and saying, okay, I'm going to pivot this way because it looks like this door is closed, but really what's happening is these other doors are open. I'm going to wait until I can see these open doors, because I know that it's, that spirit is acting in my best interest. I know that this change can still be something good for me. So
I just want to say, just because we're coming to the end of the show, and I want to make sure that people know and look for and purchase the book, The Art of Chilling Out for Women. We're talking with Angela Coleman, the author. And, you know, I think a book of strategies is so, so beneficial, I would say, because when you are in the midst of some stressful situation, you can't think. You forget all these strategies. So if you had a book right there that you could open up and it, you have an affirmation or you have an action or you have a gemstone or something you can do to just help you in that moment, it's invaluable, right, Angela? You really want to have something that can assist you. But I'm just going to tell you, when you're stressed out, you can't think, and you forget everything you've heard.
That's right. Yeah, and you forget to breathe sometimes. So that's the restrictive breathing that stress creates, right?
Yeah, like, most obvious thing right there, you forget it. So, so it's The Art of Chilling Out for Women. And you can go to Angela's website, which is Angela D for D.
Denise.
Whatever that is. Yep. Angela D, the letter D, Coleman, C-O-L-E-M-A-N, AngelaDColeman.com, and learn more about her programs and her nonprofit and all the other books you've written. And, you know, Angela, it's just been great having you on the show, and thank you for sharing your wisdom, your experience, this wonderful book that you put together to support women on their journey of becoming their true selves. So,
thank you for the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And to everyone listening, thank you for joining me here on What Women Must Know. And until next week, this is Dr. Cheryl Selman wishing you a week. And remember that this is a week where you honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.